What are you living for? What is your purpose for being alive and staying alive? You want to live a long time? You want to be healthy? For what reason? Do you have anything that's so demanding of you that it takes discipline to accomplish it? Name me something that is of great value that it does not demand and require discipline in order to achieve it.
Today on In Touch, discipline determines destiny.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying,
Toda potestad me es dada en el cielo y en la tierra.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As followers of Jesus Christ, it's only right that you and I would want to look our best, do our best, be our best, and fulfill His purpose for our life. Reach the goals that He would have for us. But that's not always easy, because there are always things out there to hinder us if we allow them. But as you think about your life, it's not easy either way you look at it. And God has a purpose and a plan for our life. It's the best plan possible. And people who are willing to walk in that plan always come out better. But as we said, it's not easy. It demands something of us. It demands discipline. Now, I want you to think about this. It is discipline, not desire, that determines your destiny. Discipline, not desire, that determines your destiny. And if you look around, it's pretty evident that many people are not living a disciplined life. Look at the hospitals, for example, running over with people who are sick for all different kinds of reasons, oftentimes because they've had no discipline in their body activities. Look at the prisons, for example. They, too, are overflowing because somewhere along the way, they didn't learn to live by the rules and to live a disciplined life. Look at the indebtedness we have today. It's the same story. People spend their money recklessly, foolishly, without discipline whatsoever. Look at how many high school students drop out before they finish. Lack of discipline. We could go on and on and on in our society. And so discipline is not something we like. That is, the truth is, we don't really like somebody telling us what we can do and what we cannot do, what we should do and should not do. We like to be free. We boast of the fact that we live in a free country and we're free people. But we're not freed from the laws of God. And for a person who does not like any kind of discipline, they set their course for disaster ultimately in their life. And so what I want us to talk about in this message is simply this, that discipline, listen, determines destiny. Let me settle one thing right up front. I'm not talking about your eternal destiny, which was settled the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You trusted Him as the atoning death for all your sins. We're not talking about that. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But I'm talking about life here and now. And that is, life here and now is a life that demands discipline of us. If we're to fulfill God's purpose, do the things that He would have us to do, achieve the goals that He set for all of our lives. So the issue is this. Where does discipline fit in your life? Because discipline does determine your destiny, not your desires. You can desire many things and miss it all, but discipline determines your destiny. So I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is referring to the Greek games and their participants and the necessity of discipline in running those games. And he begins in this 23rd verse by saying, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race, all of them run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. That is, in your Christian life. It's a race, and I think that's a race in two ways. It's a race, biblically, as we're talking about here, and we talk about life being a rat race. It's fast. He says, run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control, discipline, in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, Paul is simply taking a sports illustration here to say, in order to run a race and run it well, I have to discipline myself. He says, I'm not running with that aim. I'm not running just to be running aimlessly. I'm running with a goal in mind, and my goal is to win. And the truth is that every single believer should run the same way. Live out our life, listen, to win. To win what? To win, listen, to win all that God has laid out before us, all the things that He's promised to bless us with. God is there willing and ready to bless us in every single area of our life if we'll simply walk obediently before Him. And that requires discipline. Not easy, it's required, but it works. When a person lives a disciplined life, you're going to be able to look your best, do your best, be your best, and reach the goals that God has set for you. We look for an easy way. It's not easy. It's not easy if you're a Christian. It's not easy if you're not a Christian. It's just a whole lot better when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you to enable you to reach those goals, whatever they may be. So in thinking about that, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to consider this whole issue of discipline in our personal life. And I want to give you a number of things that I want to encourage you to jot down. We'll put them on the mag screens. There's lots of it. Because if I don't put them up there, you'll not get them down by trying to remember what I'm saying. And it's so very important. That's why I'm placing this many notes on the screen so you can write them down. If you're a parent, you need to get them down for your children. If you're students, you need to get them down for yourself. If you're a grandparent, you need to get them down for your family. But I want to encourage you to take it seriously because, listen, your discipline or lack of it is going to determine your destiny, what you do, what you achieve, what you accomplish, where you go, how you get there in this life, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, or whether you fail in your life. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to clarify a couple of terms, and let's begin with those terms. And first of all, let's look at self-discipline. Self-discipline, listen, is personal training that develops self-control and character and results in an orderly and efficient life. Self-discipline, personal training that develops self-control and character and results in an orderly and efficient life. So that demands something of us. As somebody says, well, now, what about what the Bible says about discipline? So I'll give you a second or two to write that down and then turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we oftentimes think about God's discipline and what He's up to in our life. And so there's another kind of discipline, and that is there's divine discipline. And divine discipline is simply this. This is God's corrective measures in our life. We step out of His will, fail to do what He have us to do. Listen to what He says in His 12th chapter. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved of Him. So, for example, when you and I disobey God, He does discipline us. That is, He wants to get us back in line doing what He would have us to do to accomplish what He would have us to accomplish in life. Self-discipline is something we do. In other words, God does not practice self-discipline on us. He practices divine discipline. It is up to us to practice self-discipline, that is, to be in control of our lives through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life in order to be the persons He would have us to be. And so discipline is a practice. You don't suddenly know how to discipline. You learn discipline. We practice because we're not perfect. And the fact that we practice it means that we'll make mistakes, we'll falter and fall at times, but we don't give up and we don't quit and we move on. The second thing I want us to notice here is the necessity of self-discipline when it comes to living a Christian life. And if you look in 1 Peter for a moment, and I want you to notice a couple of verses here. In this first chapter, look if you will in the Let's start with verse 15, and listen to what he says. He says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior." So it is the will of God that you and I live a godly life, and living a godly life demands discipline of us. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to notice a verse here. Look, if you will, in verse 7. He says, "But have nothing to do with the worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit." Now, for you who do not like exercise, that's your verse. He says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the one to come." So he says, if we're going to live a godly life, you're going to be an obedient person, you're going to live a Christian life, it demands discipline, which means I have to make choices in life. I have to make choices to make the right thing, the best thing, the right time, the best time in life. And so as you think about that in your life, and if I were to ask you today, in what area of your life can you say, I am really disciplined in this life? Do you go to bed every night at 10 o'clock? Do you watch the news every night? Or do you stay up till about midnight? In other words, do you eat 3 meals a day? In other words, what are you disciplined about? Or would you say, well, I never thought about having that I had to be disciplined about anything. Well, think about it. No, you don't have to, and I can tell you what the results will be in a moment. But let's think about it this way. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He came into your life through the Holy Spirit to live in you and to abide in you and to enable you to become everything He requires of you, achieve everything He wants you to achieve in life. But we have 3 enemies. One of them we know is the devil. One we know is the worldly system around us. And the third one we know, we call it different things. Paul, on the one hand, called it the flesh, or our carnal nature, or our naturalness. And our naturalness is a good word for it, which means there are desires within every single one of us that do not fit the will and purpose and plan of God for our life. And we come into this world with that bent away from that. And so our naturalness is what we have to bring under discipline, get under control. He gave us the Holy Spirit to enable us. Now, when we talk about carnality or flesh or our naturalness, what are we talking about? Talking about those legitimate desires that God has placed in our life that we have to bring under control. Just because we have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're going to live apart from all sin. We have to learn to live the Christian life. All of us have stumbled and fallen, made mistakes in areas of our life. And so what happens? God forgives, He teaches us, we move on, and we keep growing as a Christian. You see, if when a believer is not growing, it's because they're not being disciplined in one or more areas of their life. And I could give you one simple example. One area of discipline is to read the Word of God every day. Most anybody could do that if they chose to, if they recognize how very important it is. Now watch this. Whatever you discipline your life about will determine the value you place on it. You don't place much value on a particular goal, you won't work hard at it, you won't discipline yourself. For example, if you were going to buy a new automobile or dishwasher, whatever it might be, and you said, that's my goal, then when you start thinking about going to the shopping centers, you think, wait a minute now, I need this car, I'm not even going to be able to get to the shopping center. And so you have to set a value on something. For example, if I ask you, well, how many of you would like to live a long life? What, the rest of you want to die? In other words, how many of you want to live a long life? Second, now you come in. How many of you want to live a healthy long life, right? Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Is that a goal in your life? Man, it's quiet. Is that a goal in your life? Would you say that you're living the kind of life that'll make it possible for you to live a long, healthy life? Whew. It's getting pretty bad. All right, let's look at this. Let me just name 4 natural desires. One of them is food. If I'm undisciplined, You can preach the rest of this sermon, couldn't you? If you are undisciplined in what you eat, you're going to suffer the consequences. Another, for example, is rest. If you're undisciplined in that, you're going to get lethargic and lazy and slothful. Another one, for example, is companionship. If you're undisciplined about that, you'll become dependent, or someone will become dependent upon you, and that's no good relationship. And there is sex. And sex within marriage and the way God has provided is good. When you break out of that and become undisciplined, what happens? It's like poison in your system and ultimately will destroy you. So all of those are good things, but they must be controlled by us. In other words, God isn't going to control how much you eat. He's going to allow you. He will give you wisdom. He'll give you direction. He'll give you challenges in life. He may let you get sick to show you, whatever it might be. But you and I are the ones who must practice discipline. So in all these areas, God has given us many, many good things, but we have to practice discipline. Because you remember when you were a kid, if you could just eat all the candy you wanted to? And I can remember, my mother knew that I liked chocolate cherries. And so she brought me a box of chocolate cherries home one afternoon from work. I'll never forget this. And she said, "Well, you just like them, don't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I thanked her for them, and I ate chocolate cherries till I was sick as a dog. I don't know that I've ever eaten it ever since. There was nothing wrong with chocolate cherries, but I was totally undisciplined. I just wanted them, wanted them, wanted them. Well, I got them. There are many things in life that people want. That there's nothing wrong with it, except the fact that too much of some things will kill you. Just a little bit of some things will kill you. And so discipline is a vital part of the Christian's life. It's a vital part of anybody's life who wants to accomplish anything in life. So with that in mind, I want us to think about, first of all, I want us to think about what we can expect when we fail to practice discipline. And I have a number of things I want to put on the back screen in a moment. But I want us to think about what you can expect if you don't practice discipline. So let's begin. You're going to follow your fleshly, carnal naturalness. You're going to follow that, and you're going to step outside the will of God, and you're going to suffer the consequences. No discipline. Listen, look around at all the things that tempt and try us, all the things that would bring us down. All the things that are so absolutely ungodly, they're everywhere. No discipline, you're going down. Secondly, usually when a person is undisciplined, they defend what they're doing. And so we will begin to defend our wrong actions and so forth. And then, of course, one of the effects of it is not only our health, but think about finances. Think about people who are undisciplined in their finances. If you don't control your money, and see, the credit card people love the undisciplined folks because they got your interest. Before long, they've got your life. If a person doesn't learn discipline, and this is why, and I've said it many times, this is why a person has to learn to count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Anybody can do that. And the scripture says that one out of every 10 belongs to him. If I practice that, if I am disciplined in my finances, then I'm going to be blessed. If I'm not disciplined, if I don't count right, if I don't understand that I just can't spend all I want on anything and everything I want and realize there are limitations. And oftentimes today, children are growing up and their parents give them a credit card. Total disaster. They don't have to work for it. They don't even have to hardly give an account for it. They all got telephones, they all got TVs, they all got computers, they all got all this, all of these things. Where's the discipline? How much of that should you have? And how much time should you spend in it? Discipline begins very early in life, and that's why godly parents are parents who are looking out, listen, not only for how their children look and how they do in school where they can be proud of them, they're looking out for their adulthood. Is their life going to count? What difference is it going to make that you brought that son or that daughter into the world? Before the child is born, those parents ought to have wisdom enough to say, now, if we're going to have a child, what's our responsibility? What disciplines do we demand of ourselves to be the kind of parents we ought to be, so when they grow up, they'll be like us and we'll be grateful for them to be so. We fail many, many times in many ways simply by lack of discipline. Of course, there's going to be a poor performance on your job. If you're not disciplined in your work, whatever that work may be, you are going to suffer the consequences of it. Many people do not have a job because they don't perform. There's no discipline. They don't arrive on time. They don't do a good job. They don't expend their energy giving their all to the work to which they've been called. And then, of course, they're oftentimes overlooked. When jobs come along, they pass them by. Why? Because their record shows they didn't show up on time. They had to be questioned about a number of things. Sometimes it was maybe their honesty, whatever it might be. Discipline fits you for the next opportunity. Discipline is God's way of getting us ready to move along in life and to move ahead in life. And of course, a person who is undisciplined is going to develop slothful habits. And a slothful person, for example, is not going to do very well. This is why children need to be trained very early in life. In their room, you make up your bed. You hang up your clothes, whatever it might be. A little bit of discipline goes a long ways, but you have to start somewhere. And if you do not start somewhere, what happens is you go through life aimlessly. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you see, if you're not goal-oriented, then why are you working? You say, I'm working to make enough money. Enough money to do what? Well, to do the things I want to do. And then after you've done those, what? God gives us goals that demand something of us. And part of that demand is to discipline ourselves so that we give Him our full, our best. Look your best, do your best, be your best. Fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. Not easy, demands discipline, but at the same time, something good is happening to you while that's going on. I think about, for example, when a person's undisciplined, they leave work for other people. If you work on a job, for example, where there are a couple of people there who are sort of sloppy and they just do it part of the way, you come along and you have to take up a part of their work so that you all don't get in trouble. In a family, for example, if there are children, you got three or four children, all of them have a job, so two of them, they decide, well, I don't think I want to do that. Somebody else has to do it. And probably a mother understands what happens when there's no discipline at home as much as anybody does. If everybody does their job, mom doesn't have quite as much to do. If you've got children who are sloppy and who are negligent, they're probably that way because you allowed it, you allowed it, and having allowed it, now you have things to do you shouldn't have to be doing. Discipline is very, very, very important. Because look, if I'm undisciplined about my household, more than likely I'm undisciplined about something about my life. In other words, you're just not going to be just wonderfully disciplined over here and sloppy over there. Just not going to be that way. But we are probably all more disciplined in some areas than we are in others, but many areas demand it. If you're going to live a godly life, discipline is a vital part of that. Then, of course, I think sometimes a person who is undisciplined is reckless in their speech. They say things that they wish they had not said. They say things that are true that should not have been said at that moment. Or they say things that are true that should not have been said to that particular person. We have to be careful that the lips, the tongue, what we say in such a fashion that should either build up someone else but never to tear them down. Then, of course, the person who's always late. What it says is, I don't respect your time. And discipline. Sometimes it's difficult to always be on time. Nobody's probably always on time. But it says something about us. And then, of course, a person is going to waste time and energy when they're undisciplined. Because, you see, we said in the very beginning, self-discipline talks about self-control and orderliness. That is, if I work by schedule, it would be interesting to know, for example, how many of you have a schedule every day? And do you live by that schedule? What do you try to accomplish every day? And I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to accomplish anything, before I go to bed at night, I need to make a list of all the things that I intend to do the next day. And it's real simple. You put on 3x5 cards. And when you get them done, you check them off. At the end of the day, what you couldn't check off, you put on the next day. It's a simple thing I learned many, 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 many years ago, very early in life, because I had many responsibilities. And I thought, well, how am I going to get it all done? You only get it done if you program it into your life and work at it diligently. And you have to discipline yourself. If you have certain things that have to be done, here's what that means. There's certain other things I cannot do. And so when a person just sort of lives aimlessly, well, do this and do that and get whatever done I can and not fret about it, where are you headed in life? What do you want to accomplish? What kind of trail are you leaving? What kind of influence? What kind of impact? There are many people in life who don't have what they'd like to have because they're not disciplined enough to remove the things out of their life that drain their energy, their strength, their finances, their time. Discipline is absolutely essential if you're going to succeed at anything in life. And then, of course, Paul talked about here, he said, lest he become a castaway. And what he was saying is this. He was going to live a godly life, lest after all he may have done, his witness, his testimony may have put him on the shelf. And we all have to remember this. There are things in life that do not fit a Christian. You say, oh, now that's getting legalistic. No, that's getting biblical. There's some things that should not exist in the life of a believer. And so if that's one of those things, I don't have to name anything. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, you know what it is. You have to decide. God isn't going to make you do it. You have to decide, do I value my Christian testimony enough? Do I value my relationship to God enough? Do I value the goals and the principles and the things that I want to accomplish enough to eliminate the stuff in my life that's going to keep me from getting there? You cannot have it. You can't have everything. You can't be everything and all things to all people. You have to decide, who is it you want to be? What is it that God wants in your life? What's His desire? What's His plan? What does He have in store for you? It is costly not to live a disciplined life. It can cost you in many ways. We just mentioned body and finances and things like that. Many, many things you have to pay the price for if there's no discipline. Now, with that in mind, I want us to think about something else, and that's what are the requirements for living a disciplined life? As we said, it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to live a disciplined life, it's not easy. And nowhere in the Bible, in fact, Paul talks about running, and he talks about one winning, and that means others lose. And so in your life, if you began to live a disciplined life, what area of your life would you first choose? Would it be what time you get up in the morning? Would it be something about your relationship to the Lord? Would it be your finances? Would it be your relationships to each other? You see, if you live a disciplined life, you may have to say no to some folks who'd like to be your friends. Because you see, the Bible says and warns us about having the wrong kind of relationships, wrong kind of friends who'll drag us down. So you have to ask yourself the question, where do my values lie? What matters most, that I live a godly life, walk the ways of the Lord, accomplish His purpose and plan in my life, or do I want a lot of accolades and a lot of achievements and a lot of this and a lot of that and a lot of the other? Where's God in all of that? So what are the requirements? And I would simply say this. First of all, you got to have a definite purpose and a definite goal. If you have no definite goal, you won't accomplish much in life. If you don't have a definite purpose, if I were to ask you, what is your purpose today for living? What's your purpose? You say, well, I just want to enjoy life. Well, what else? Well, I want to have enough. How much is enough? Well, I'm not sure. And we can ask you a lot of questions, but the issue is this. What are you living for? What is your purpose for being alive and staying alive? You want to live a long time? You want to be healthy? For what reason? Do you have anything that's so demanding of you that it takes discipline to accomplish it? Name me something that is of great value that it does not demand and require discipline in order to achieve it. That's the way God made us. He wants us to grow. He says, He predestined you and me to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Think about this. Jesus was absolutely perfect. Did He have His enemies? Lots of them. Was the devil His enemies? Yes. Did He have a carnal nature? No, He did not. But He had lots of enemies. He lived a disciplined life. He said, I must go through Samaria. Must go. He made a decision. That meant he wasn't going somewhere else. And when you read the Gospels and the way Jesus spent his life, he didn't spend it, he invested it. And believe me, he was a very disciplined person. The same thing would be true of the Apostle Paul. You and I know disciplined people. Disciplined people are encouragement to us. But you got to have a goal. And then remember this. When you decide what your goals may be or your objectives, and this may be a temporary goal or something you can accomplish in a short period of time, or a long period of time, or a lifetime. Listen, you have to become attached to what that goal is. At the same time, you have to become detached to all those things that draw you away. And you see, one of the reasons people don't reach any goals is because they can't detach. They can't detach from things that have an appeal. It could be a monetary appeal or whatever it might be. But you have to lay some things down if you're going to accomplish them. And then you have to pursue it with diligence. And for example, somebody says, well, I'm going on a diet. Listen, if we understood what real, true discipline was all about and people practice it, you wouldn't have 49 different programs on the television every week, how to lose weight. And every single one of them says the same thing, the secret. How many secrets are there to losing weight? I can tell you what the secret is. Just walk away. That's what the secret is. And that doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't cost you anything. But it goes back to the whole issue. How much value do I place on losing weight? If I place enough value on it, I'll walk away. I'll discipline myself. But if I say, well, I think I'm going to. And so you exercise, let's say, for example, you exercise for a week, and I mean, you're just doing fantastic. And you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I don't think I want to do that today. And next thing you know, you're also working on your diet, and somebody says, let's go to lunch, and man, I want them big burgers. I can hardly wait. You know what? Diligence says, I may want to. Remember what we said in the beginning? Listen, discipline, not desire, determines our destiny. And I may want to do a lot of right things, but if I'm not willing to be disciplined, it's not going to happen. And so you got to pursue it with diligence, and you got to be consistent. You can't do it one day and forget the other. And I think probably, and I'm not really harping on diet necessarily. I don't have that in mind, except to say it's a good example. It's easy to start, but are you going to be consistent? You're going to be diligent? Are you going to be work? You're going to really work at it? And are you going to practice self-control? Now you say, well, isn't that what discipline's all about? Right. The reason I said practice, because that's what it is. You won't succeed the first time. There are times you're going to fail, but here's the issue. Just because I failed today doesn't mean I'm a failure. It means I start tomorrow. But I'm not going to quit starting. I'm going to have to start again and again and again and again. And so you have to decide what is the value of this thing that you want to get under control in your life. You want to get your finances under control? Well, to what degree do you want to get them under control? How much real value do you place on that? Well, it gets you out of debt. You can sleep better at night. You won't be worried about them calling you over and over. In other words, there are lots and lots of things you can say. The value I place on controlling my finances is I will feel free, because the Bible says, you know, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And we have a whole nation of slaves, people who are financially enslaved because they did not practice discipline. Well, you say, well, where do you start? You start today. You say, well, I'm thinking about starting. You'll never get it that way. You make a decision. You say, today, on this day, I'm starting. I'm going to practice discipline in the way I handle my money. Otherwise, you get deeper and deeper in debt. And the lack of that causes problem after problem after problem, and causes people to do things, say things, things happen in their life that never would have happened if they hadn't gotten themselves there. Is it difficult to practice discipline? Yes, it is. I've said that over and over again. But what's the value you place on the thing you want to be disciplined about? And then you have to just say no in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. You say, well, it is very difficult. I know it is, but watch this. He says he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. He called him the helper, that he would enable us to do anything and everything God would call us to do, or achieve the goals that God would have us to achieve. So we have a helper. So that means we have within us one who will empower us to look at a situation and say no when we need to say no. I think about parents who can't say no to their children because they themselves are so undisciplined. In other words, they can't stand the rejection of their children. So they say, well, okay. And they allow them to go to parties where there's drinking. They allow them to dress in ways they should not dress as young people. And all the things that go on because they're so undisciplined themselves, what do? They just pass that lack of discipline on to their children. Then when their kids really mess up, they want to blame them because the parents are too lazy themselves to make a decision, so afraid they're going to suffer rejection by their kids. They don't have the courage to discipline their children. Forget it. Listen, I go back to what I said. What value do you place on that child? Is that child a valuable person to you, going to grow up, be an adult one of these days? The value you place on the child, the discipline you will... Listen, remember what we said. We're not talking about spanking them. We're talking about teaching them self-control. It's only going to learn... It's only going to happen in a family where mom and dad practice self-control. So, you have to ask yourself the question, what are the requirements? And there they are. Then... thank the Lord, there are rewards, many, many rewards for discipline. Remember, we're talking about controlling ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit, which builds character in our life, enables us to live a life that is fulfilling, in which we achieve, and which is orderly. And so then, what about the rewards? Well, I'd just say, first of all, look on the screen. The reward number one is a lifestyle that is more orderly and less stressful. And I hear people oftentimes say, you know, my stress is getting me down. And it would be interesting to note if we could trace it, how much depression can be traced back to lack of discipline that creates because of disorder, no orderliness in their life, lots of confusion, nothing's under control, just aimlessly living their life. Listen, you live an aimless life, you're going to get depressed. And lots of things that make you depressed. God doesn't want His children being depressed. He wants us living a godly, orderly life, and there's going to be peace, there's going to be confidence, there's going to be happiness, there's going to be a joy in a person's life, and you're going to feel good about yourself. People who don't feel good about themselves, there's something going on the inside, and lots of time it's confusion. There's no order about their life, and what they see is get up tomorrow morning, go to work, get by, get paid on Friday, start all over again on Monday, get paid on Friday, start all over again on Monday, get paid on Friday, start it on Monday. In other words, that's not life. That's existence. Discipline says I need some goals. Something that will require something of me, demands something of me that I have to stretch, that I have to work at it. I have to go after it and be diligent about it. If I don't, life's going to be aimless. And I think there are many, many people who are really gifted, who have talents and skills and abilities in their life, but they're aimless because they never stop to think that God has a plan for your life, number one. And secondly, you can achieve. Listen, you can be disciplined. You can prove yourself. You can be the person God wants you to be. But you have to make a choice. And that choice demands discipline. I can't do this and I can't go there. And this doesn't fit who I am. But all of these fantastic things that God has set before me, if I will follow Him, this is what I'll be able to achieve in life. But it demands discipline. Self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot say it strongly enough. I know it works. I know it works in children. I know it works in adults. I know it works in all kinds of goals that people set for their life. But the problem is, what am I going to have to give up? For example, if I just decided that, I want to preach on Sunday, but I just want to study on Saturday night, just maybe a couple of hours. Well, you ain't coming here but one Sunday. In other words, discipline, you will feel better about yourself. You'll be happier. You'll feel a sense of accomplishment and achievement in life. And all the time this is going on, you know what's going to be happening? You're going to be growing in your Christian life. You're going to be growing in your relationship to Christ. You're going to be growing in your walk with God and living a... Listen, the more disciplined you are in other things, the more you understand and recognize the importance of being disciplined to live a godly life. It means I say no to this and yes to that. And that disciplined life is going to affect every single aspect of your life if you will allow it. Now, remember this. All of us are where we are because of what we've been thinking. Now, our parents may have put some things in our thinking, or somebody else, or God, whatever it might be. But we're all where we are today because of the way we've been thinking. You say, yeah, but I had a bad time. Well, we've all had little bad times. Well, and we can always make excuses. But look, if you lay excuses down and accept the fact that discipline is a godly way to live your life, it's the best way to live your life, the most productive way to live your life, the happiest, the most peaceful, the most contenting, and the most joyful way to live your life, then is that what you want? Is that not what you want? It's a choice. Has nothing to do with age. Has nothing to do with talents and skills and abilities, because some people have this skill, this ability, that talent, whatever it might be. It's where God has called you. What He wants you to do. What He has in mind for you. And I can tell you, He has the best in mind. But you and I have to practice discipline. So, you're going to be more productive, for example. And it's going to contribute to your good health. A person who's disciplined, usually that affects their rest. It affects what they eat. It affects their relationships. It affects everything in their life. Then, of course, it's going to make a positive impact on others. When you meet somebody who's very disciplined, now I don't mean they're so legalistic, they don't even know how to have fun, and that's not what we're talking about. But a person who is disciplined, there's something contagious about that. Because you see them accomplishing things. You see them going somewhere. You see them having a sense of direction. It's contagious. And what you certainly want to happen in your among your children, your grandchildren, you want them to see in you those qualities that will help them become the persons God wants them to be. And the truth is, all of us should want our children to do better than we do. Well, how are they going to do better? Only by seeing... And listen, it isn't how perfect a parent is. Believe me, that's not it. It's seeing us work at it. We may fail about many, many things, but seeing us work at it and seeing that we don't give up and that we don't quit and that we're diligent and we're persistent. And no matter what happens, if we fall down, we get up. If we get knocked down, we get back up. We don't quit. That builds within a child a sense of determination and builds within them a sense of accomplishment. Well, if my dad did it, if my mother did it, whatever it might be, I can do it. My mother left me a lot of great, great, great qualities that I wish I could live up to. She didn't drill it into my head. She lived it in front of me. And orderliness and self-control and diligence and persistence and all those things. And you see, here's how it helped me. When I saw the way she operated, then I got my first job was taking newspapers. And the second group I had to get up and take them every morning, get up at 5:30. I had to take them again that afternoon and spent Friday and Saturday collecting. So I didn't have any time to date much. I couldn't play sports, couldn't do any of that. But she taught me diligence. And then I got the paper out. That taught me diligence and taught me determination and taught me to be disciplined. Because I woke up many mornings and I didn't want to get up. I woke up mornings when the snow was up to right here in Virginia at that time. I woke up and it was pouring down rain. I didn't want to get out and do that. Then I had to come home, get dressed and go to school all day long, come home, run the same route again. I know something about diligence and determination and discipline. I had to. And I thank God for it. I thank God that my mother didn't have enough money to just give me anything I wanted. Worst thing you can do to children, give them anything they want. When my kids came along, they thought that I was a little tough on them, but it worked. And that's what matters. It worked. If you've heard Andy preach, you know it worked at least a little bit. Anyway. One of the good things that happens is it opens doors of opportunity. If you were going to hire somebody, would you hire somebody who came in and said, well, I've been sort of looking for something to do. I don't know. If you got a job, I'll take it. If somebody came in and said, looking for a job, I've got some goals for my life. I want to do my best. I promise you I'll be honest. You can count on me to do a good job. Which one are you going to hire? You know which one it would be. Well, then we should be an example of all that. Then, of course, it's going to enable you to reach your goals in life. A person who is disciplined, they will be diligent and persistent and consistent and determined no matter what. The Holy Spirit will actively enable you to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish because that's His will for you. You can't lose. I remember the first paper that I had, they had a contest for all the paper boys. And in those days, we had to walk. Just riding bicycles, we didn't do that. And this thing of driving an automobile and throwing it out the window, I can't believe. Anyway, we had to walk mile after mile after mile every day. And so when I look back and think about that, they had a contest. Well, I thought, contest? What's the amount of money? I think it's like about $25 or something like that. It was a lot of money in those days. So I thought, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to do my very best. I got up early. I got everybody's paper. I did everything like I normally do, so I didn't have to make many changes. But I made one mistake one morning. And those days, you folded the paper and put it like in a spitball and threw it. So I threw this right through the window, right through this lady's window. I thought, oh, my goodness. All she's got to do is complain, and I'll lose. She didn't complain, and I won the $25. I'm just simply saying, look, the issue is you're not going to be perfect, but you do your best, whatever that is. You cannot lose. And remember this, who you're doing it for. Now, in that situation, I did it for $25. But when it comes to life, who are you doing it for? Ask yourself, think about this. If you and I could get one little, if we could get 10 seconds standing before Jesus and looking at the reward that would be possible for us, nobody would ever have to talk to you about being disciplined again. See, what we don't realize is we have no idea what we are missing when we do not do what God wants us to do and do the things He'd have us to do. Now, when I think about the real contribution it makes, think about this. We're diligent in life. We discipline our life to be consistent. And one day we stand before Him and He says, well done. It's worth it. It'll be worth it for all eternity. You see, we're living too much in the temporal instead of eternal. Now you say, well, how do you start being disciplined? You want to know? Say amen.
Amen.
Real simple. You decide today, that beginning today, I'm going to read a portion of the Word of God every day. Is there anybody here who could not do that? Right. Every single one of us can read the Bible every day. That's going to teach me this. I'm going to start with that. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray and talk to God every day. Not just about all my needs, but I'm going to talk to Him about what He says in His Word. But I'm going to read His Word and I'm going to pray every day. That's two steps I can take to becoming, listen, disciplined. That means I'm going to control my time. If I have to get up early to do it, then I get up early. If that means I can't do something else to read the Bible and pray, I'm going to get rid of that. But you can. The third thing I'm going to do is this, and you can do, is you can tithe your income. You say, oh, now he's getting around to talking about money. No. I'm getting around talking about your success. I'm talking about how you can become the person God wants you to be, because watch this. When you are disciplined with your finances and you give God what He says, what you're doing is you're giving God an opportunity to build your faith, which is one of the most powerful things you have. And how do you start learning to build your faith? You count to 10. Then you lay aside one penny out of every 10. You say, well, you mean if I give him one penny out of every 10 and a dime out of every dollar and $10 out of every 100? Is that right? We keep going. So here's the amazing thing. People make very little, they tithe. Start making a lot of money, oh, I couldn't give God that much. They forget how to add and subtract. It's just that simple. If God gives me 1,000 and I give him 100, I'm grateful. If he gave me 10,000 and I give him 1,000, he's still doing the same thing. Watch this. I'm still in the same category, and he's blessed me that much more. If you want to learn discipline, you start with reading the Word of God, praying, giving. And a good way to start discipline also is this, and that is attend worship every Sunday. Discipline says, you know, when Sunday comes, I'm going to be there. Why? Because I'm going to meet with the people of God to fellowship and to sing and to listen to the Word of God. And I want to grow. Every single week I have an opportunity to grow, to learn something that'll deepen my relationship with Him and make me more valuable to God and help me to make an impact and make a difference in somebody's life. Well, I could just go down a long list, but I just started with the first two. Everybody can read the Bible and everybody can pray. So when you walk out of here today, or if you're listening, watching, and you don't start being disciplined in those two areas, you're going to suffer the consequences. I'll tell you why. The Word of God is our guidebook for life. It's our guidebook for life. And all I'm saying to you is, if you want to learn to be disciplined, read a portion of it every day. Where? Well, start in the Psalms, start in the Gospels, wherever you want to start. It's up to you. And talk to God every day. You say, when? Watch this. Whenever you choose, but choose a time that if it's all possible, you do at the same time, then you develop the wonderful habit. Now, you say, well, suppose I'm not a Christian. Well, this is not going to work. But I can tell you how it will work. It's so wonderful. If you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins, and you ask Him to forgive you and to cleanse you because you want to become the person God wants you to be, you want your life to count, and you want it fulfilled. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins by His death at Calvary, took care of your sin debt in full. Once you ask Him to forgive you, cleanse you, surrender your life to Him, He seals you as one of His children, comes into your life through the Holy Spirit, and at that point will enable you to become the person God wants you to be. You've all heard the truth. Now the question is this, what are you going to do about it? Do you practice discipline in your relationship to the Lord, His Word? Do you practice discipline, for example, the way you dress? You practice discipline in the way you handle your money? You practice discipline in the friends you choose, the places you go, the music you listen to, or the messages you listen to, or the magazines you read, or the books you read? You practice discipline? Some things, no. Some things, yes. Doesn't fit who I am, really fits who I am. Will help me grow in my Christian life, will not help me grow. Listen, only because I love you and I care. Don't get into anything that is not going to grow you up, build you up, and make you a godly person. Don't get into that. Whatever it might be, it's wrecking people's lives every day. You have to make a choice. And I'm saying to you that God is offering you a choice to be your best if you'll take it. Amen? Father, how grateful we are that you love us enough to be patient. I pray the Holy Spirit this morning has spoken to every single person who's listening. I pray the Spirit of God will just entrench this message so deeply that it cannot be removed. And that discipline will become a major part of our thinking every day, not some days. And that you will grow us faster and more thoroughly than ever before, making each and every one of us a valuable servant of God. We love you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today, Dr. Stanley explained the spiritual benefits of building discipline into your life. Call toll-free or visit intouch.org to ask for a free resource card that details his 7 points on how to live a disciplined life. When you visit intouch.org, you'll also find All Things Are New, a collection of resources created to bless and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Order today's message, Discipline Determines Destiny. Get Life Principles Notes, a free download of highlights from today's message. Find podcasts of this sermon, radio messages, plus video and audio archives by clicking the broadcast page. There's more great teaching from Dr. Stanley at intouch.org.
There is a tide that has touched the heart of our nation that will ultimately destroy the way of life that you and I have. Do you want this nation to keep going where it's going? Or do you want us to get back on track? God can turn the tide in this nation.
What door is God opening in your life?
When God calls you to do something, it's an opportunity. It isn't just a responsibility. It isn't just a calling from God. It is an opportunity to serve the living God. Tell me something any higher in life than that.
See the opportunities God's planned for you with Dr. Stanley's 4-message set, Opportunities Before Us, available on compact disc or DVD.
What is the will of God for my life? What could I become? Where can I go? What can I achieve?
Dr. Charles Stanley answers these questions in his book and workbook, How to Reach Your Full Potential for God.
If I'm going to live my life at its best, if I'm going to accomplish the most, achieve the most, reach out the furthest in life, then I need to know what God's plan is.
Perfect for your small group or personal study. Available now at intouch.org.
How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart.
Seek God with all of your heart with the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible. Study and apply the 30 life principles. Get answers to life's questions and enjoy highlighted promises from God. The Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible, practical principles for daily living. Call toll free or visit intouch.org.
Have you ever felt like a spiritual failure? Well, most of us probably have at some time or the other. God is holy, and He calls each of us to be holy. And this high standard is clearly shown throughout the Bible, and God has written it on the hearts of believers. We know God's expectations. The trouble we have is living up to them. If you've looked at your life and wondered how it could ever pass God's expectations, then I know you'll identify with this email. For the person writes, I've tried to be holy by doing things I thought were good, like reading my Bible, praying and inviting God into my life over and over. Then I heard you say that God does the work. When we ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us, I wanted to cry because my efforts never seem enough. Can I really trust that God Himself will clean me up and make me pleasing to Him? I'm confused about my responsibility in this relationship. Well, let me say, first of all, you to be commended for your efforts, no question about that. Then I want to ask you a few questions. What's your motive? Why do you keep praying for God to clean you up? Now, I'm not being critical, but I want you to think about your actions. You say that you've been saved by His grace and love and mercy. And are these actions for His acceptance? Are you trying to get acceptance by working so hard? Are you trying to measure up for something? Maybe it's compared to some other Christian. Do you think that somehow if you work harder and harder that you'll stay saved, that you'll remain saved, that maybe you could lose it and gain it back? Or you said, for example, your efforts never seem enough. I can understand that because God never intended for me to work and work and work in order to remain saved. And when we ask the question, enough for what? Struggle enough for what? We're saved once and for all by faith in Jesus Christ and His awesome work at the cross. Our daily walk in grace is not going to lead us to perfection. There's no such thing as living a perfect life. This does not excuse sin. He says in 1 John chapter 1 and the 7th verse, He says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is continually cleansing us from all sin. So what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to live a godly life. Does that mean perfect? No. But it means that when I do fail, I quickly acknowledge it, confess it, which means I agree with Him that I've sinned against Him. I repent of it. I turn around. I walk the other way. It doesn't mean that you'll never do it again. But God knows your heart. He does not want you struggling and trying to measure up to something and living under this burden that you're not going to be perfect. Remember this, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, not by crying out to Him. And so the answer is this, yes, you can trust God to cleanse you. That is His promise. He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And listen, and to make our life right, to change whatever needs to be changed. It is our responsibility to live godly, but it's also our responsibility when we fail to confess, repent, and accept His forgiveness and be encouraged by His forgiveness and thank God that He's there to forgive us. And remember, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that brings about forgiveness of our sins. So I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit of God living within you will convict you of your sin, but He also convicts you of the forgiveness that God has provided for you. Be assured of this one thing. He is not expecting perfection. He just wants your heart bent toward Him, leaning toward Him. And sometimes there will be struggles, but you ask Him to forgive you, you thank Him for His forgiveness, and you move on. God will encourage you if you'll just remember this. You can't measure up because more than likely whatever standard you set will not be sufficient. That's not what the Christian life is about, measuring up. It's about walking in forgiveness and love and obedience and confession and repentance and growing and, listen, developing a stronger relationship with Him. That's what it's all about, and that is your gift from God. Well, thank you for joining us today for In Touch. And until next time, fight your battles on your knees, and you will win every single time.
Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley is a presentation of In Touch Ministries. This program is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.